the climate change bill, this is the Bill C-311, Climate Change Accountability Act, was thrown out by the Canadian Senate after years of debates, negotiations, and hopes of a lot of environmentalists right across the country. Canada's only climate change bill squashed in the Senate just before the Cancun Climate Conference coming up next week. We have on the line to explain to us better an expert, an actual senator from the Senate who sponsored the bill. His name is Grant Mitchell. He is a Liberal senator from Alberta, and that in itself is news. So, hello, Mr. Mitchell, are you on the line with us?
Hey, Robin, I am.
Great. First, tell us about yourself. I mean, you're from Alberta, the home of the tar sands, and you're supporting a climate bill. Can you tell us something about that?
Well, yeah, I am from Alberta. I was in the Alberta legislature for 12 years, leader of the Liberal Party, very, very, you know, keen on environmental issues, and kind of dedicated a good part of my life to dealing with that, and a huge part of my time in the Senate to dealing with that. The oil sands are misunderstood, and I'm not saying that they're perfect. They're not, but they're not going to be shut down, so we have to do them right, and we have to keep building the pressure and requiring the companies like that, but not just the oil sands. You know, coal-fired electrical plants across this country and many other emitters of carbon have to be dealt with, because we have a huge, huge problem, as most of your listeners, I'm sure, are aware, with climate change. Now, what's important to note is that it wasn't the Canadian Senate that threw out the climate change bill that you're talking about. It was the unelected conservative senators. Everybody else voted for the bill, and it was the unelected conservative senators that threw it out. And that's unprecedented. Just unprecedented that the Senate would defeat a bill that was passed by elected members of Parliament without even having the conservatives talk to it. They had 193 days to develop and present their side of the story, and the Senate didn't do it, and didn't even let it go to committee for further review.
Senator, can you tell us a little bit more about the process of the Senate itself, just because the Senate is not a very well-known institution in Canada. Parliament, you know, is a bit better known, but the Senate, mm-hmm. not so much. Tell us about the process, about how bills pass through, and tell us about, you know, why this was, how this became an unprecedented situation.
Well, yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for giving me the chance, because the Senate really is misunderstood, and it does unbelievably good work. But essentially, every bill that goes through, not essentially, in fact, every bill that goes through the House of Commons, first reading, second reading, committee, third reading, has to go through the Senate before it becomes law. And in the Senate, it goes through first reading, second reading, committee, and third reading. So it's exactly the same. Sometimes bills start in the Senate, and they can, both government bills and senator bills, and sometimes, most times, government bills start in the House of Commons. So this bill has been passed by the majority of members of Parliament in the House of Commons, and it happens that they were the opposition members, because, of course, the opposition in total has a majority, and it came to the Senate, and it got, on May 6th, I presented it in the Senate. I was asked by Bruce Heyer, who was the New Democrat sponsor of the bill and developed the bill in the House of Commons, but they don't have members in the Senate, if I would do it, because, you know, he knows I've done a lot of work on the environment, and I got the Kyoto bill through the Senate when we had a majority there several years ago. But so it came, I spoke on it, a number of my colleagues in the Liberal caucus spoke on it, and then the government, after 193 days, hadn't spoken on it, so I put pressure on them to speak, and they called the question, that is the vote, and they defeated the bill.
So the representatives, the elected representatives of Canadians, passed this bill. They thought it was a fine bill. Went to you not to you personally, but you sponsored the bill, and conservative members just somehow were able to not pass this bill. Like
They voted against it. This is the Conservative Party that always used to say Liberals were defeating, you know, bills done by the government that were elected bills. And
tell me, how did it happen? Because I don't know what the makeup is of the Senate in terms of Liberal senators compared to Conservative senators, but how did it happen that the Conservatives were able to vote this bill down?
Well, the Conservatives have more members than the Liberals. That's how it happened. they didn't until quite recently. But because we've had many retirees and they've been appointing, our numbers are lower than their numbers. It's as easy as that. They control the numbers in the Senate, so they can defeat whatever they want. They can pass whatever they want.
So tell us now about this bill, and it's the only Climate Change Accountability Act. Canada is headed to Cancun. Our government representatives are heading down there, as well as hundreds of environmental activists and people from this country and around the world. What will Canada have to show at in Cancun without what is called the only Climate Change Accountability Act?
Well, it's you're right on. It's absolutely the perfect point. The fact is that they've got a part-time environment minister now, who was, when he was full-time environment minister, in fact, only part-time committed to it, one would think. They've had a plan, quote unquote, which is very, very loose, but based upon what the U.S. was doing with the Democratic Congress, because they said, well, we'll do what the U.S. does on climate change. Well, now the U.S. Congress isn't Democratic. It's Republican. The Republicans aren't going to do cap and trade. So now we don't even have that as a plan. They've defeated this bill that would require that they have a plan, and they're going to Cancun in 2 weeks. What have they got? I asked the leader of the Conservatives in the Senate today, what are you going to take there? No answer. They don't have a position. Except the risk is that they will try to obstruct. And in fact, at Copenhagen, that's exactly what they did. They obstructed the work of negotiators in Copenhagen because they don't want to do anything about climate change. They don't understand how significant it is, or they won't understand how significant it is to us. They say that it will wreck our economy if we do fix climate change. And in fact, if you think about it, what will wreck our economy is not fixing climate change. Climate change will wreck our economy if we're not very, very careful. And in fact, working on climate change will stimulate our economy. It'll mean new technologies, new investment, new jobs, and a vision of the future. And we're beginning to follow significantly behind many countries of the world who are getting there and understand that the future is a green industrial revolution.
Senator, tell me something about the bill, and if it would have passed, how would it have helped in curbing climate change?
Well, what isn't fully understood out there is that private members like Bruce Heyer, who isn't in a cabinet, he's not in government, can do bills, and senators can do bills too, but they can't be money bills. So that, when people say, well, we can have a minority and everything's going to work, right, it's going to be balanced, well, minority governments can be stopped by the opposition, but the opposition can't initiate the kind of action that really, really, really means something. That's not to say that this bill would be useless. At all. But all the bill could do is call for the government to plan every five-year plan sequentially, every 5 years, on how to get to a 2050 objective of 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions under 1990 levels. And then it required accountability and review by the Environment Commissioner and the National Roundtable on Energy, or on the Economy and the Environment. That's all it did. So would it have changed the world? Probably not. We passed the Kyoto Bill. Pablo Rodriguez, my liberal colleague in the House of Commons, moved the Kyoto Bill, got it through the same way as this bill got through, asked me to sponsor it, and we got it through several years ago, as I said earlier, because we had a majority. And what it required was planning and by the government and accountability. Well, all the government does is it says we don't have, essentially in their reports now, we don't have a plan, and there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing anybody can do about that. That's what they do. So it would have made a difference in the sense that it would have put some more pressure on the government. It would have made a difference in the sense that if they'd actually listened, they might actually have come up with some plans that meant something and enhanced accountability, but we're going to see none of that.
Senator, you're inside. You're in the Senate. You are in regular contact with other senators. You're familiar with the system. What is going through the minds of conservative senators who are opposed to even thinking about reductions in greenhouse gas emissions in this country? What's going on in the inside?
That's sort of a $64,000 question, and it's, Robin, it's a I don't want to cast aspersions on their motivations. I mean, to a person, senators are well-motivated, people who care about their communities, care about this country deeply and made huge contributions. But I don't understand how somebody can look at what's happening with the climate in Canada and the world. Look at Canada. Why do we have an Arctic sovereignty issue? Because we got melting ice caps. That's why that's more and more becoming an issue. Why do we have problems with our fisheries on the West Coast and the East Coast? That's climate change. Why are we having more drought and more rain? And, you know, and I can go on because of all those things. So I say, well, how can you look at that? How can you see the science and not understand that it's a huge problem? So I don't know. They're well-meaning people. I don't know how they can't understand that, and I don't know why they won't understand that great leadership and great leaders go and find great problems, you know, or they're thrust upon them, and they don't run from them. They embrace them, and they fix them. Churchill in the Second World War. Climate change in, you know, 2010. A great leader will grab that somewhere, somehow, and make it work and fix it.
So my last question, they're talking about, what is the possibility of having another climate change type bill back on the discussion table in Parliament and going back through this process again?
Well, the rule is, I'm almost certain that you can't do the same bill twice in the same session. That's not to say you couldn't do a different bill, and maybe some members of the House of Commons will. I've got a climate change related bill on the order paper in the Senate being debated right now. Well, the Conservatives haven't debated it. I have, and it calls for giving people a tax credit for a carbon credit. So you know how the Conservatives brought in this deal that if you put your kids in figure skating, you can write off the figure skating fee and get a tax credit. Well, I'm saying, well, let's say we go out and buy a carbon credit that really reduces carbon. Maybe we should encourage people to do that with a tax credit. Same thing. So there's lots of different kinds of bills. I'm working on a bill also right now to require that the government have a zero carbon footprint and buy carbon credits to offset that. BC is doing that right now, reduce and offset. So there's lots of other bills that could be done. But the fact is nothing's going to be done until we change this government because they don't believe in it. They won't do it. They don't want it. They don't believe in intervening in any way that they don't like. They intervene in lots of other ways. In the economy and elsewhere, but they're not going to do climate change. They're just not. It is in their DNA to resist that. So we need to change government. And one of the big issues there is that the problem is the split on the left. And you know, I'll give you a figure that in 2006, 9,164 votes, just 9,164 votes from the New Democrats to the Liberals in the right ridings. And we'd have won that election in 06. And you'd have had probably Stéphane Dion as the Minister of Environment and not John Baird. And so what difference would that have made to the future of this country and to the ability to provide leadership on climate change in the world? It would have been infinitely better and infinitely different. So we're fighting the problem of a split on the left, which allows Harper to win. And he had the same problem with the split on the right when he consolidated and began to win. We have to fight that, and we have to find a way to bring people together behind the one party, the Michael Ignatieff of Liberals, who have a chance to form a government and really do something about climate change.
Senator Grant Mitchell, Liberal Senator from Alberta, thank you so much for joining us on Wednesday Word of Mouth here on CKLN.
Thanks a lot, Robin. It was great. Really appreciate it.
All right, that was, again, Senator Grant Mitchell. He was the sponsor of the Climate Change Accountability Act, originally put in by New Democrat Bruce Heyer from Thunder Bay Superior North. That bill, as you will probably have heard and seen on the news, and we'll see tomorrow, was squashed by, according to Senator Graham Mitchell, conservative senators in that very, you know, obscurely known government institution called the Senate, the Canadian Senate. So that bill is now finished, ending 5 years of negotiations. Canada does not have any measures in place to curb climate change.